Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
I'm back. Hey, everybody. I don't usually do podcasts on back-to-back days, but I got the new toy, I got the new mic, and yesterday I put out a podcast. A lot of it was kind of trying all the new stuff I got out. And I didn't get to talk as much Chiefs football in yesterday's podcast as I really wanted to. And, you know, I do this podcast because I love talking about Chiefs football. So it was killing me not to go ahead and put something else out there. And I probably should wait until later on in the week, but I can't. I'm too excited about training camp starting this week. So in this episode, I just want to talk about kind of the five things I am looking forward to the most this training camp, the five things I really want to see how they play out in the long run. The first thing I want to talk about isn't what I'm most excited about to see in training camp, but it is the thing I'm most worried about, and that's the cornerback group I'm heading into training camp. You know, Kendall Fuller is clearly probably the best corner we have going into training camp, and then you've got Bashaud Breeland and Charvarius Ward, who are both, you know, starter level guys probably. Ward started the last four games of the year last season for the Chiefs. Now it does sound like Spags will play a lot more zone, and Charvarius looked more like a man corner last year. So we'll just have to see how well he adapts to playing zone. It is a bit different. But the Chiefs also brought in undrafted free agent Mark Fields. They re-signed Keith Reeser, who they let go last training camp, and they drafted Rashad Fenton in the sixth round. And a guy I forget about a lot, but I believe he was on the Chiefs practice squad last year, and he's still with the team, is Demontre Wade, who made a few waves last year in training camp. He at least, you know, showed enough ability to stay on the practice squad. What really worries me is the fact that an injury could take us from being average group of starting corners to a very below average group of starting corners. And with this offense and how it scores so quickly and puts pressure on the other offenses, other teams are going to be throwing a lot, and they're going to expose you if you're weak at corner. Now, we should have better safety play this year, which should keep a lot of the big plays from killing us like they did last year. That is, you know, one positive. And of course, I think the linebackers will have more defined roles and not be as terrible in zone coverage as they were last year, because they were just atrocious. Anything across the middle of the field last year was easy pickings, because the corners, as bad as they played, as bad as the communication was, they definitely were not the worst unit in the pass defense. So with that, I just want to see who wins the third corner spot. Is it for sure going to be Ward? Or is Reeser going to make a push for it? And then at fourth corner, is that clearly Reeser? Or is Fenton a little bit farther along than some of us thought? Or is Fields, who it sounds like, you know, he has a world of ability, is he going to put it together and make a push to actually, you know, see the field this year? So I'm interested in how that plays out. Now, a side note to that, there, you know, is a lot of news and grumblings about Chris Jones. He wants to be paid. He is a heck of a player. And of course, Tyreek Hill, now that he's not serving a suspension, before all that went down, it sounded like he was getting ready to sign an extension with the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are looking at Jones and Hill for extensions, I'm sure. And I'm not a mind reader, so I don't know when this is going to go down necessarily. But I think it's very important to keep in mind that the Chiefs don't have many corners under contract for next year at all. And it's very important for the Chiefs to get Kendall Fuller signed. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. In 2017, he was the top rated slot corner in all of football. Last year, he dropped into the mid-30s, according to PFF. So I think he's going to jump back up into the top 10. And I would really like to see him also play on the outside a little bit more. Kind of like the role that Chris Harris has with the Broncos, where he's on the outside on first and second down, or at least until, you know, the offense goes three wide, and then he moves into the slot and really takes that away. And I think Fuller could do the same type of thing, and I think that's very valuable. And I really wish that the Chiefs could sign him to like a three-year, $30 million, three-year, $35 million contract in that range. I think he's definitely worth it. And after he plays this year, I think he's going to command probably more. I know that sounds maybe a little bit silly at first, but when you think that Steven Nelson was the top free agent corner this last season, and we all know, you know, we all got to watch him play last year, he got a pretty nice contract from Pittsburgh. And Kendall Fuller is a better player, and he, it looks like, very well could be the best corner on the free agent market next year. So that is definitely something to keep in mind. The Chiefs are going to have to do something at corner after this season, whether it's a trade or focus on getting corners in the draft. But, you know, that's not as easy to do as you think it would be, because I think that was a big focus this year in the draft, and things just did not work out that way. The second thing I would like to talk about going in the training camp is the defensive line. Now, that is something I am very excited about. There are a lot of names, new names on this defensive front. I forgot where I was for just a minute, but I am really excited to see where this defensive line goes. There are a lot of talented guys, and they can't all make this team. And with Spags, I'm not even sure where they're all going to line up and play. So it's just going to be really interesting to me to see how this plays out. If you don't know already, Spags, of course, plays a 4-3. You know, he's fairly traditional on first and second down. But on third down and passing situations, he likes to bring in a NASCAR package where basically he pulls out his defensive tackles, which I'm sure he won't pull out Chris Jones in this situation because he's great at pass rushing. But he brings in, you know, three defensive ends. He brings in his best rushing strong side linebacker, his best blitzing Sam linebacker, and he puts them all up on the line of scrimmage. And then he usually blitzes all of them, or at least four of them. He might drop one back, and he brings a corner. He loves to do that. That's why there are a lot of people predicting that Tyrann Mathieu, you know, will have a few sacks this year, because on third down, you know, he could be, you know, down in the slot, and he can blitz from there and do a very good job. So that's where people are kind of thinking that he could get some pressure on the quarterback too. You know, just looking at the list of defensive linemen we're going to have in camp, you know, there's Tim Ward, who's a rookie, but he does have some upside. I've heard some good things about him. He's a guy that probably has a chance to make the practice squad. But we've got Breland Speaks and Tano Passanio. You know, Speaks, it looked like he'd put on a lot of weight when we saw him, you know, earlier this summer. I'm interested to see where he plays. Is he possibly going to be a one tech, or is he going to be a defensive end? Basically, a one tech is the nose tackle in a 4-3. I'm going to get to some of that in a football knowledge segment down the road. But, you know, Speaks, did he put all that weight on to be a defensive end? Maybe. It's possible. I know that Speaks sure doesn't seem to have a lot of explosion. And then Passanio, you know, there's a good chance he might get cut this training camp, or at least this could be his last season with the Chiefs. And I'm kind of sad, because I really like Passanio. I really thought he looked good when he was out on the field and he got opportunities out there. I'm not exactly sure why the last coaching staff wasn't higher on him, but I've got hope that this coaching staff can get through to him and find a place for him, because he is 6'7". He is freakishly strong, and He just affects the quarterback when he's out on the field. I could definitely see him being valuable in that third down NASCAR package I was talking about earlier. If you had him and Jones on the inside, that's 6'6 and 6'7 with very long wingspans, getting their hands up in the quarterback's face on those type of plays. And then, of course, we brought in Emmanuel Ogba, Frank Clark, Alex Okafor. Those are all quality guys. Those are, and we brought back Derek Nnadi and Xavier Williams, of course, Chris Jones, Justin Hamilton, who, you know, is an underrated player on this team, but, he'll be right at the edge of making this team or not making this team. And, of course, there's Jeremiah Adichu, who could play defensive end, but I think will probably be playing more at strong side linebacker, maybe as kind of the pass-rushing strong side linebacker. But that's another thing I'm interested to see what Spags does there. The third thing I want to talk about are the linebackers. Now, it's no coincidence that the first three things I talked about were all on defense, because I think there are a lot more question marks on defense going into this training camp than on offense. And the linebackers were definitely a major disappointment last year. They were not particularly good in the run game, and they were just awful in the passing game. And of course, the Chiefs used a lot of zone with their linebackers last year, because with Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland out on the field, especially at the same time, you are not going to put either one of those guys man-to-man on anybody. So this year, it does sound like Reggie Ragland is going to be the starting middle linebacker, and then Hitchens will be on the weak side, and Damian Wilson, the free agent that we signed, will be the strong side linebacker. I don't believe that Ragland will be the middle linebacker all the time. It sounds like he's just going to be in there kind of on obvious running downs when you need a thumper just to help stop the run. And that's a good thing to have, because, a team like the Patriots could definitely, try to run the ball down your throat and kill as much clock as they can. And if you have that option with Ragland, if he can get back some of his form and he's more comfortable in this defense, he can definitely help stop the run. But really, where I'm more interested is when the Chiefs go, into a five, nickel package. I brain farted there for a second, guys. But when Ragland leaves the field, Hitchens slides over to middle linebacker, and Darren Lee comes onto the field for Hitchens. Darren Lee is the guy that we traded for from the Jets. He is extremely good coverage linebacker. He has a ton of speed. Dorian O'Daniel kind of fit that role just a little bit last year. He's got a ton of speed. He's learning to be a coverage linebacker, but I think he's probably got a ways to go before he is up in Darren Lee's stratosphere, I guess. There's also Ben Neiman, and I'm not sure where Neiman is going to fit in this defense. I'm excited to see where he gets a chance to play, because he really impressed me last year in the preseason, and he was a heck of a special teams player last year. So, Dave Taub will be pounding the table to keep him. But Lee can definitely cover tight ends one-on-one if he has to, and he can cover running backs out of the backfield extremely well. And where the Chiefs died a lot last year, like I mentioned earlier, was when the linebackers were in zone. And, Lee has enough recovery speed that even if he gets beat in his own coverage, he's not going to give up the huge gain that we gave up last year, because Hitchens and Ragland, neither one were going to make a tackle on a guy that had a couple steps on him. So I think that's a major improvement to our defense right there. The fourth thing I really want to see shake out in training camp is the wide receiver group. There is a ton of talent in that group. It's funny thinking back to the first year that Reed came here, when really the Chiefs wide receiver group was extremely bare. They had an aging Dwayne Bowe and really nothing else. And now they are absolutely loaded. The Chiefs bring back six wide receivers from last year. Of course, you know, the top two guys are Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. And then after that, they're bringing back DeMarcus Robinson, Garrett Dieter, and Marcus Kemp. Plus, there's Byron Pringle, who was on injured reserve last year after getting hurt in the last preseason game. But of course, he was able to stay with the team and really learn the playbook. And, you know, I believe there was some value to him missing the year, if that's possible. And then, of course, the Chiefs drafted Mecole Hardman in the second round. He was their first pick. And they gave a $100,000 signing bonus to Jamal Custis. And they brought in probably my favorite undrafted receiver this year, Cody Thompson, who, you know, hopefully can at least make the practice squad on this team. I think he is somebody that is going to play in the NFL. He's smart and he is so quick. He's got some extreme quickness to him. Now, I mentioned, you know, Hill and Watkins are the clear one and two, but I don't think it's very clear at all who's going to be the third wide receiver. I think it will come down to DeMarcus Robinson, who I am not just particularly high on, but I think the Chiefs like him more than me, and he seems to have a pretty good chemistry with Mahomes, especially when plays break down, which seems to happen with Mahomes quite a bit. There's Byron Pringle, who I mentioned earlier. You know, I think that guy's got a ton of talent, and he is a great route runner. So I would not be shocked if he surprised some people this year and got 40 or 50 targets, or maybe even 60 or 70, if things went well for him right out of the gate and really surprised some people. And then, of course, there's Mecole Hardman, who's a rookie. You know, especially early in the year, I don't see him getting just a ton of snaps as the third receiver. One good thing for him is that the Chiefs do use four receiver sets fairly often, so he should be able to get out on the field quite a bit. And then if you've got those five guys, who is your sixth receiver on your roster, especially if they keep DeMarcus Robinson? DeMarcus Robinson, I've kind of mentioned him as a surprise cut a couple months ago, and that's why. It's not that I don't think he's particularly valuable, it's just that he's going into the last season of his contract, and I think there is a lot of talent here. Marcus Kemp, he didn't really get used in the passing game last year, but he is a spectacular special teams player, and Dave Taub is going to fight to keep him. And then, of course, Garrett Dieter, you know, is a good special teams player. And he really seems to kind of be almost the kind of the glue that holds this wide receiver group together. When you see him posting videos on YouTube and things like that, he seems to be the guy that just kind of, you know, the glue that holds everybody together. Maybe he's not the leader, but, you know, he's the guy that can interact with everybody and, you know, for the third time I said this, the glue that holds them all together. Plus, he's Patrick Mahomes' best friend on the team, and he might, you know, get to stick around just for that fact. I mean, I wouldn't blame the Chiefs if Mahomes said, keep Garrett Dieter, if they kept Garrett Dieter. So if you kept him, those are your six guys, and hopefully you could keep Custis and Thompson on your practice squad. But I wouldn't be extremely shocked to see Cody Thompson surprisingly make this team either. The guy is just so quick. His, you know, times at his pro day and the three cone were right up there at the top. And with that kind of quickness, the ability to get open really quick, Reed, I think, will absolutely love that in his system, because one thing I think people overlook is that Mahomes was really the best quarterback in the league on throws, you know, 10 yards and in from the line of scrimmage. He gets the ball out so quickly and so accurately, and Reed schemed things so open, and the Chiefs have, you know, every guy he's throwing to is a playmaker that can make somebody miss and do something with the ball. The Chiefs really dominated on those type of throws. Not to say that Mahomes wasn't good on deeper throws, he made a ton of them. But, you know, in the intermediate, you know, 30 yard down the field range, he made a lot of those throws. But I also think he can work and get better on some of those throws, which is crazy because he's as good as anybody in the league, but he's got so much talent. His arm is so strong that I think they're actually going to improve there. And then the fifth thing and final thing I want to talk about, at least with training camp, is the tight end position. Because I mentioned just a little bit yesterday, I'm kind of wondering if Andy Reid is looking at kind of going more to an H-back with his second tight end position than really a true second tight end. You know, an H-back is just somebody who can, you know, line up in the backfield as a fullback, or they can line up at the end of the line of scrimmage and block and run a route, or, you know, Reid's system, you can spread them out and they can catch a pass. Sherman is definitely somebody that can do a little bit of that, and they brought in a guy named John Lovett, who was a quarterback in college, but he's an athletic, bigger guy, and you know, I think he fits that role probably more than a traditional just tight end. So I'll be really interested to see if we make that transition to, instead of really having multiple tight ends on the team, having a couple H-backs and maybe transitioning away from a tight end.
Now it's time for football knowledge,
where Jason will discuss different terms, tactics, and schemes, plus how they relate to our Kansas City Chiefs.
In the last segment of football knowledge, we talked about identifying personnel groupings and RPOs. I'm going to try to cover a couple things in this episode also, and that is identifying the gaps along the offensive line, and then man or power run blocking schemes, which the Chiefs do use kind of in short yardage a lot, but they are more of a zone blocking team. But I'm going to get into the zone blocking in the next episode because it's a little bit more complicated. So identifying the gaps along the offensive line is not that difficult. You've got your center, and of course you've got a guard on either side of your center. The gap between the center and your guard on either side is called the A-gap. And then outside of your guards, between your guards and tackles, that is your B-gap. And those are the two most common gaps you'll hear mentioned. Outside of your tackle, between the tackle and the tight end, that would be your C gap. If there's not a tight end on the field, then the gap between the tackle and the nearest receiver is the C gap. And then, of course, if you do have a tight end on the line, the gap between him and the slot receiver would be called the D gap. But you don't really ever hear the C or D gap mentioned. Now, with man blocking, basically, it is exactly what it sounds like. Each offensive lineman has a specific defender that they are responsible for blocking. So before the ball is ever snapped, they know exactly who they are going to block. It's very basic, very simple. It's really easy to see on film because at the snap of the ball, these guys are going forward. There's not really any movement side to side. They're just getting a push off the ball and going directly to somebody. Now, there are a couple terms that are used specifically with gap or man blocking. And the first is a combo block between the center and the guard. And that is called an ace block. And that is basically when they both get off the ball, you know, hit the nose tackle that's on them. Hit them at the same time, get a good block on them, and then take that double team on to the backside linebacker. So basically they are putting a really hard hit on the nose tackle, and then after they, you know, knock him senseless, hopefully they get deeper push and do a combo block on the backside linebacker who's coming down the field, across the field to get to the play. And then the other term is called a deuce block, and that is a combo block between your guard and your tackle, and it is basically the same thing, except instead of a nose tackle, they're generally doing that on a three technique. So, you know, the other defensive tackle in a 4-3, they just try to get off the snap of the ball just quickly, beat the defender off the snap, hit them at the same time, get a push on them, knock them off balance, and then release and get to that backside linebacker before he can, crash in and make the play. That is all for this week's football knowledge. Hopefully I am getting some of this across in a way that is at least a little bit understandable, and that when you're watching the game, you can identify some of these things. The zone blocking, that I'll get to in the next episode has a lot more to do with the Chiefs specifically. That is all I've got this episode. Hope everybody out there in Chiefs Kingdom has a great week. Go Chiefs!